Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
This year, it's Pop's turn for a laugh. So celebrate Father's Day with a gift that really pops. A customized Funko Pop of him. First, think of all the things that make your dad the man. Then turn those ideas into a personalized Funko Pop. Select hair, clothing, and skin tone options to match his fit. Don't forget to show off his favorite hobbies and sports with amazing accessories. You can even add his best friend. Start creating now at Funko.com.
Be unique, not anyone else. Express it now. Just pop yourself.
That's Funko.com.
And we're back with an all-new episode of Keep It. I'm Louis Fertel. Now, this is very selfish. Today, I am joined by an Emmy winner, not just a nominee. You know, I think it's tacky to win, but I'm going to forgive him. This is a friend of mine, and actually a former boss of mine. He's an actor, fellow podcaster, and now he's making his off-Broadway debut in the fabulous show, which he did in Edinburgh, is now doing off-Broadway. Are You Mad at Me? This is Brian Safi.
Oh my God. First of all, we do need to clarify that it was a daytime Emmy. Does that change things?
No.
Does that bring me down a level?
No. I'm sorry. EGOT has leveled the playing field. Now daytime is just... Emmy is an Emmy.
You know what? Thank you. You're right. So yes, I do have one and was also nominated for another 55 years ago.
Yeah.
But...
That was right. You wrote for Ellen.
I wrote for Ellen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then... I mean, it's so hilarious that you called me your boss. I never felt like that.
No.
I never want to be a boss again, by the way.
Yes. You now host the Attitudes podcast. It was once upon a time called Throwing Shade. And there was a TV show based on Throwing Shade on TV Land, which was basically a...
All of that together is so crazy.
Yeah, that
sentence is wild.
Yeah, TV Land, right. Like, you rudely interrupted Bewitched to make television.
Well, it actually was King of Queens and the letters we got. I remember that people were so pissed and they were like, "What? This is nothing like King of Queens." And we were like, proudly.
Yeah. I think Leah Remini would have been a fine addition to the show.
100%. I'm trying to remember if this was pre or post her scientific takedown.
It was right in the middle of it, I think, because I remember discussing it with the other writers on the show. Yeah,
and those manicures, remember?
Yes, precisely.
Oh, those nails. So
no,
good.
But you and Aaron Gibson. Mm-hmm. It was like a gay guy and a woman hosted Daily Show, basically.
Yeah, right.
And I just want to say, we still need that.
I know, right? Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
With that gap still hasn't really been filled in that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But now you are the star of a show you've written yourself, which I'm thrilled to hear is being received fabulously.
Thank you.
Across the pond, and now we'll be here too. What is it like putting this show together, and what neuroses are we tapping into?
Oh my God, it is so, it honestly is way more stressful than I ever thought it would be.
Really?
To be honest, yeah. I mean, it's a blast because, like, for so long I've been in partnerships and it's nice to just do something solo. And also I've been on this show, which I love, 911 for like 8 seasons now.
Jesus Christ. No kidding.
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
wild.
Angela Bassett kind of well.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, sort of well. My scenes are mostly with Jennifer Love Hewitt,
who is producing this show, by
the
way.
She is. Yes. She's the best. I love her. So in that way, I guess it is kind of a partnership. But yeah, basically you said neuroses and that's the name of the game here. It really is just like a gay panic attack on stage for like 70 minutes. It's got music. It's got games, actually. I always think of you when I think of a game.
Oh my God. Well, now I'm going to move into this show.
No, please come. And if it's sort of like, if you've ever had a conversation and then replayed it like 9,000 times, this is the show.
Yeah.
And also it's audience interaction in it in a good way, like planned. And so the show's a little different every night. So I say it's like Sleep No More for people pleasers. It's,
oh, okay.
That's the idea, yeah.
Did you ever, when I did Sleep No More, which has got to be a decade ago now, I had just bought new shoes that didn't fit. My feet, it looked like I had just survived like Ready or Not by the time I had gotten out, like fully bleeding out my ankles to watch like two people do like acrobatics in a small room.
And now there's like a Phantom of the Opera. Do you know about this?
Correct. Yes.
It's like on five floors.
Right.
Can you imagine?
And I assume you're like running through the house like you're in Clue.
And I also imagine the people who are going to see Phantom of the Opera cannot stand for that long.
No.
I mean, this is at this point an octogenarian audience.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. They're just putting them through their paces, I guess. But this show, oh, this is the big selling point is everyone sits.
Fuck yeah.
During my show.
Yeah.
It's all seated.
What was Edinburgh like? I kind of don't really have a sense of what the culture of you're doing the show every night there is.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're all hanging out with all these other performers all
yes,
the time.
Yes, I have to say, at first blush, nightmare.
Yeah.
My hell, truly. It was the best. Like, I don't know. It was just so nice to be surrounded by people who are creating their own things like that. And really, the cream does rise to the top there. You see things you cannot imagine. I mean, I shared a dressing room with three lesbian Norwegian clowns.
What?
And they were fabulous. And we became like really, so you're just meeting all these different kinds of people and being influenced by them. And just, I loved it. I would go back to perform, but I would also go back just to like watch it. There's nothing like it in the world.
Wow.
Certainly not. I mean, I don't even think like Montreal, the Just for Laughs things is anything like what they were doing over there. I loved it.
Do you have to change anything about your show so that it can fit in the off-Broadway space? Or is it basically ready to go based on what you had done there?
It's pretty ready to go. The great thing about Edinburgh is like going in, I had this, you know, I knew what the show was going to be. And then someone told me the best way to use Edinburgh, because you're doing like 30 shows in a row, is to just workshop your show through every performance. So I came out with a completely different show.
Wow.
Much a bulletproof one, but much different than I thought it would be. And that's when it started to feel more like, I don't know, with the audience stuff, just more open in that way and something very unusual, I think, that I didn't anticipate doing. I did not think I was necessarily a clown type performer. And that's where we're going.
We are in a universe. Guy Branum has been guest hosting the past
few
years.
I know it, yes.
Yes, and clowning has become so legitimate a word in LA now.
I know.
And it wears on me. And I know if I went to only one class, I would get it. But as of now, it's just, I'm just so 2012 internet coded where I'm like, clowns are annoying.
No, for sure. And also, but you do watch it and you genuinely laugh. And these people are so incredibly talented, but it is ridiculous that we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Like me telling my parents, like, there are clown elements.
And they're like, oh, good. Yeah.
They're like, that's great. Is it like a rodeo? I'm like, it's just two barrels on stage and I'm popping out of each one. trying to avoid wild horses. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I've also brought you here to discuss a important pop culture landmark.
Oh,
it
God.
Is the 100th birthday of Marilyn Monroe, yesterday, or I guess now when this podcast comes out, 2 days ago.
Yeah, she's still alive, huh?
Keeping at it.
What's she doing? Yeah.
She's the last person on barbiturates in the world. Yes.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Now, you are an old movie queen like I am.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you still have like a steady TCM diet?
Of course.
You
yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. I go back just as much as I go present and forward.
No. Oh, I refuse to go forward.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I do. And I would say I still believe that her talent is underrated. I do think that the idea that she was potentially a genius might be overrated.
Sure.
But
yes.
I do think her talent was underrated. And I think what makes me especially sad about someone like her is truly she did embody every character. You believed everything she said. When you look at All About Eve, when you look at Some Like It Hot, you are in. I mean, you just believe everything she's doing. And I think what's sad is that she didn't make it to the 70s where her talents and her despair, frankly, and her vulnerability might have been used even better.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean by those? And even when I look at movies like today, like she could have been Ginger in Casino. No
totally.
Problem.
Oh, absolutely.
She could have been Betty Diane in Mulholland Drive.
Certainly.
She could have been Scarlett Johansson in Under the Skin, because that was a movie all about looks. Like, I think now, if she'd been born later, what a career she would have had.
Yeah, no, she is indeed special in all her movies. And it's funny, we're about to talk about the horror movie Backrooms later.
Mm-hmm.
There's in that movie, in this crazy world it creates, they talk about how disfigured people you see in this universe are based on memories of memories of memories, like distortion in the human brain.
Right.
And I sort of feel like that's where we're at with Marilyn Monroe.
Completely.
Like it's like an image of an image of an image, literally the Warhol pictures of Marilyn
right.
Monroe.
Yes.
And it's sort of like, how much of this is real and like based on like actually having perceived this woman and watching her movies?
Right.
And the truth is, she does have talent in all these movies, but I feel like all of the movies she was in are not really what you think they are.
No.
You know, like fact, the 7 year itch is sort of like a convention, almost seems kind of like Neil Simon-ish. And we think of it as having this like lurid, you know, leg bearing scene, et cetera.
100%. Yeah. And also, but like when you watch her stuff, these movies have been so elevated because the fact that she's probably the greatest American icon, at least in pop culture. Probably.
A lasting icon, yeah.
Exactly. And some of the movies are just not good. I mean, there's somewhere, like The Prince and the Showgirl is one of the most boring movies I've ever seen in my life.
Right. No, and it's like she does, obviously we have the movie about The Prince and the Showgirl, My Week with Marilyn. And you do see, like, she does a little boop, boopy doop movement that is entrancing. Yeah. But that is not the whole movie.
No, not at all. But I don't know. I also wonder sometimes in the way that she is in every on the wall of every Airbnb in Palm Springs,
right?
You know, I do. She and Audrey Hepburn,
yes, right.
I do often wonder: do the people who have these prints have they ever seen one Marilyn Monroe movie? I do wonder if some of her super fans have never even seen a movie of hers.
No, well, I mean, poster culture is like its own form of fandom at this point,
100%.
But it's like it is worth it to go back and see some of these movies. Like I was just watching Don't Bother to Knock, which has like a really great dramatic turn from her. Even like in All About Eve, which you just mentioned, she has a very small role, but she's perfectly cast as this like new actress that the theater critic in the movie is sort of like propping up. And in fact, the funny thing about that movie is she has the X factor we're supposed to believe Eve has.
You literally just blew my head off.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely right. She should have, no shade, Ann Baxter.
Right.
Happy 100th. She should have been Eve.
No, because like you hear Ann Baxter like wins raves for her debut performance taking over for Margot Channing.
It's right.
Like, are we sure?
Yeah.
What did she do?
100%.
Like, did she bring out fireworks? Are we sure? 100%.
When she's giving her speech in Margot's dressing room, the whole time you're like, I mean, I obviously don't buy this.
Yeah. Like, so you're not talented. You're not even a good sociopath.
But Marilyn, it comes out of reports. I think what's also interesting about Marilyn is being probably the biggest sex symbol in American history, potentially, is I wonder if she would have been able to have taken control of it in, because sex symbols still in this day and age do not age well in Hollywood. Like they're still stunning, but there really aren't roles for them in that way. And I really think the exceptions to that are Cher and Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
But those were also genius business people. And I wonder if Marilyn Monroe could have had it that way. I don't know.
And also they were genius, like straight actors too. Like, like Dolly Parton and Cher could almost kind of play anything.
Cher, I know you mention it quite a bit, but Cher in everything, but also in Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, outshining all of those actors. And it just, that character just coming out of her pore. I mean, she's one of the most natural actors I've ever seen.
No, she is a little bit like Marilyn Monroe in that way, where it's just like, I don't know what it took to get you in that room. But Marilyn Monroe, it's like you were 5 hours late or whatever. Right. Cher strikes me as slightly more responsible. Yes. But it's like, it feels, and I hate this word because I know it's not effortless. You know, you watch them and it's like, I believe whatever very parlor room drama is happening right now because you are so committed to it, because you have such a palpable personality and it feels like somebody I know or want to know.
Yes, 100%. It just comes through, it comes from within them or something.
Yeah. Right. I'm heartened to hear you say that Marilyn Monroe could have been something more interesting in the 70s, because it does feel like even in like, you know, I would say Some Like It Hot is maybe her most successful role. Mm-hmm. It does feel like she never got the like Hitchcock casting Grace Kelly in Rear Window and finding the real like power underneath the, you know, glossy veneer.
Yes.
You know?
And I think some people are born too early and some people are born too late. For instance, if Sharon Stone had been alive in the time of prime Hitchcock.
Done.
Think done.
Yes.
I mean, that would have been it. Because Sharon Stone with a great director, nobody's better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She would have, but I do think if Marilyn Monroe had been born a little bit later, people would have really been interested in the vulnerability and the complication and the battle that was happening in her head potentially. And
certainly.
A little bit more. I think she was someone who might have been born too early.
She also is somebody where she's constantly quoted. And I'm like, what percentage of this was real? And what was the context under which she said it? Like, we quote her like she's Aesop.
First of all, yes. Second of all, have any of them ever stuck with you?
No. The only thing I can remember is when she was in The Misfits, which is her last movie.
Yes, yes.
Somebody asked her about Montgomery Clift, and she said, he's the only person in worse shape than I am. It's like, guys, we could have gotten her into a ward that day. We just weren't paying attention.
No. Yeah. Instead, we're like, ah, right. Good one.
Right. Dead in minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Yeah, because some of her quotes are like, they look at you, but they don't see you. And you're like, yeah, right. I mean.
Right, you're in a movie.
True.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I am thrilled for Brian to be here, especially since we'll be talking about this movie Backrooms today. And when we asked you if you were going to see it, you're like, I'm already seeing it tonight.
Isn't that wild?
So are you a horror fan?
You know, I would say in the last few years, yes, because I think we've transitioned more into horror comedy than ever before.
Certainly.
So I do feel, I saw Obsession too. I do feel like there are laughs to be had now in horror in ways that maybe growing up, I didn't really feel. I mean, Scream was probably right. The first real one, mm-hmm. but I appreciate that.
No, yeah. There's more Ruth Gordon's and Rosemary's Baby than ever before.
Please. Nobody is better in anything ever than Ruth Gordon in that movie.
No, I love
Not it. A nice person, allegedly, by the way.
No. Well, she seems like one of those like hustler type people who would like throw a script in your face and be like, put me in this or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you have to admire that. But according to Barbara Streisand, in that The Bible she wrote.
The world's greatest book.
Yes. The world's greatest book. Ruth Gordon was sort of odd and not very friendly.
Yes,
which I
right.
love. Yeah.
Okay, so this episode we have Brian here to talk about horror and more. And actually, Hitchcock is going to come up again later in the episode during my Keep It. You'll see.
Oh, fabulous.
And our guest today is the fabulous Samara Weaving, who is in the new movie Carolina Caroline. And we talk about her horror past and the choices she makes in this movie, which, by the way, is so fabulous. And so is Kyle Gallner, another horror alum. And before we go to break, I have some good news for Keep It listeners who somehow make room in their hearts for the news. Hey, if you haven't heard yet, tickets for Crooked Con 2026 are on sale now. Expect potential presidential candidates, campaign strategists, pollsters, organizers, journalists, creators, and even lowly podcast hosts. Crooked Con comes just days after the midterms. We'll kick it off on Thursday, November 5th with a Pod Save America live show. Then on the evening of Friday, November 6th, you can catch Strict Scrutiny live or Love It or Leave It live. And on Saturday, November 7th, join us for a full day of Crooked Con panels and meetups. Head to crookedcon.com to get tickets and more details, including how to become a Friends of the Pod subscriber for a special discount. We'll be right back. Today's show is sponsored by Strawberry.me. Ask yourself these five questions to see if it's time to switch jobs. One, am I growing or just repeating the same experience over and over? Two, do I feel energized by my work or am I constantly drained and counting the hours until it's over? Three, am I learning skills that will still be valuable 3 to 5 years from now? Four, do I know what my next career move should be or am I just hoping something better shows up? And five, if I stay here another year, will I be proud of my progress or regret staying comfortable? If those questions made you realize it might be time for a change, you should talk to a career coach through Strawberry.me. Their coaches work with you one-on-one to understand your strengths, identify your gaps, and build a clear roadmap toward a career you're actually excited about. Because the biggest risk isn't making the wrong move, it's staying stuck without a plan. Take control of your future at strawberry.me/keepit today and get 50% off your first coaching session. That's strawberry.me/keepit. Keep It is brought to you by Helix. I, as you know, have the Midnight Lux Helix mattress, and I love it for a number of reasons. One, guess what I don't have? Back pain. Guess how old I am? Old. These two things should not go together. And I'm telling you, I credit this mattress for not only having me sleep well, but sleep like a baby. I mean, it's irresponsible how comfortable I feel as somebody of my advanced near-death age. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. and offers a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. You can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. And Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. Go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 20% off site-wide. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 20% off site-wide. HelixSleep.com/keepit. Last Friday, A24 released their newest film, Backrooms, the directorial debut of, let me brace myself for this, 20-year-old YouTuber Kane Parsons. The film follows a furniture store owner who stumbles upon an alternate dimension of liminal spaces and stars Chiwetel Ejiofor, Renata Reinsva, and Mark Duplass. It's an adaptation of an internet creepypasta turned YouTube web series, and Backrooms is currently number one at the box office, making Kane Parsons the youngest ever director to open at number one in the U.S. Brian, as we said before, you already had a ticket to this movie by the time I asked you to join the podcast. What were your thoughts going in? Were you familiar with the lore of the movie?
Only slightly familiar, but actually the question I want to ask the most is, during the break, you asked me, I asked you to see this movie, and you said you were already seeing it, and you were surprised. I'm very surprised that you were seeing this movie.
Oh, this is not my world at all.
Okay, yeah.
No, I mean, I will say this. The word I would use to describe this movie does appeal to me, which is Kafka-esque.
Yeah.
I love anything that's in the world of, like, you know, the space between us is very strange. Like, yes. I love the movie Alien.
Yeah.
You know, just like the space of the sense of dread and the sense of aloneness. To me, there's something very German about it that I really like.
And I am always drawn to anything liminal spaces. I think during the pandemic, especially, it was haunting and beautiful to see no one gathering by the Trevi Fountain.
Yes.
To see no one in a mall.
Right.
To see, you know what I mean? Those images really are haunting and honestly alluring and attractive in that way. And I feel like in that way, the movie knocked it out of the park. The production design was incredible. The vibe was, I mean, it was also like the first adaptation of a vibe I had ever seen in a movie. Like,
right, yes.
Because really, this movie is just a vibe.
Certainly.
It really, and so for that, and you can't take it away from Kale Parsnips. He really did.
Which you can buy at Trader Joe's.
That's right. Yes. No, I mean, he really did make something that people are completely fascinated by. I worry for the future of the discourse on this movie, because in the same way that I would say right after The Matrix and right after Inception, this bros really took over in conversation, and it became like, no, well, this means this and the carpet stain means this and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When really, I think what you got from this movie was at the end of the day, was really maybe not a story or a fully thought out one, but maybe a creepy vibe.
Right. Yeah. No, when the movie starts out, actually, before it gets to the actual back rooms, it is a Chiwetel Ejiofor acting movie.
Yeah.
And I actually was kind of down for that. I
Me
thought he was
too.
Really
he
bringing
was fabulous.
I was like, I miss this man.
Yeah.
What have we been doing with him?
Completely. You and know? Then when they bring in Renata Reinsva, I was like, this is the best cast.
Yeah.
I would watch these two people in any movie ever made.
No.
I just didn't expect them in this one. Yeah.
I feel like after a while, like, she is accumulating credits at such a clip now where it will almost be awkward not to pick her as your favorite actress. I truly feel like she is taking over in a hostile way acting.
I
say this affectionately because I think she is fabulous.
I think she is like on the path to becoming the most famous actress in the world.
Yeah.
Like she does just, I don't know, she's in such the zeitgeist right now in that way. But I thought the performances were incredible and were the most standout things about it. I do have a problem. I always want the director to know what the ending means, even if we don't. I do think that David Lynch, he has said, fully understands Mulholland Drive, thinks that it's, you can figure it out if you really try to. He knows what it is. We don't.
No.
You know?
Yes. Not even close. Yes.
In a beautiful way.
Yeah.
And I do feel like in this movie, he might not have known.
Well, I also think the problem is, because the credit to this movie is, as you said, it's an adaptation of a vibe. And I almost wish they just let the vibe sit. I feel like too much of the movie ends up being explaining what we just saw.
Right.
In a way where it's like, no, we could have made these deductions ourselves.
Yes.
It's like, it's creepier if we put less like textbook vocabulary to what we're seeing and just let the, you know, again, whatever the German word is for this feeling, take over. That said, the heart and soul of this movie, which is just being in this like yellowish space where every frame of being in this space, at least one thing is a little bit wrong, you know, right? Like that wall isn't high enough and I think that's the creepiest part of the movie.
Completely.
Before they get to like, oh, there's like a shadowy figure who will murder you in here.
Right.
I almost wish it would just stay in the space of, I feel like I'm at my old Sunday school in the part that they shut down and there's tables here for some reason and there's some story I know nothing about. That already is so creepy.
And completely. And it's a cool conversation to have of like in your memory, what's real and what's been distorted.
Yes.
And I also thought it was cool, the idea of setting this in, was it in the early 90s maybe?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I thought that was cool too, because you are dealing with a generation and Kane is in that generation of, they don't remember not having the internet.
Right.
There is sort of a fantasy in nostalgia of that era. You do hear more and more about Gen Z people, you know, ditching their phones, getting flip phones, that sort of a thing. So there is like a longing for that space while also this fear of AI. I mean, it's an interesting place to be caught between.
Yeah.
And the movie does deal with those things. It just doesn't. And I love movies that don't close a loop, believe me. But I, at the end of this, I sort of felt like, and it's done.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, also something that I thought was fascinating was, again, you know, the physical world of the back rooms is like so eye popping, so eye catching. But what I love is when you get out of that space in this movie, like the places they live are no relief because it's so ugly. Every space is so fucking ugly in this movie, but in a conventional way. Like, it reminds me of every dentist office I was ever in. It reminds me, you know,
I wanted to steam clean every piece of furniture in Renata Reinsva's office.
Right. No, it's like,
and the bed and the bed and just all those poly blends. Like, it was just awful.
Because also she has a sort of resting chicness that maybe she can't help. And yet, every drab silhouette she wore, every like the furniture in her, she's a Chiwetel Ejiofor's therapist in this movie. Yes. Like what she's sitting in is so gross. The everything is like too cramped.
It's so great. Yeah, I can just smell the coffee stains.
Like, yes.
Everything is just, it is, it's disgusting. What I also liked about it though, and what I think is cool that these, and you see the same thing in Obsession.
Oh, yes. What you said you've seen. Yes.
Is these young guys directing these movies who come from a YouTube world who are tapping into, I don't know if you would call it incel-ish sort of behavior in a good way, who are commenting in a good way of sort of like Chiwetel Ejiofor's character is like, I'm lonely and it's not my fault. It's your fault. You know what I mean? And he blames everything on the wife. In Obsession, it's the same kind of conversation happening. And I haven't really seen too much of that yet.
Right.
And that I think is really cool that these guys are tapping into that.
Yeah. No, because it's gross. And then of course, but that's not the entire movie. They are outmatched in grossness by the horror to come.
Yes.
So I love that pairing too.
Yes. And I think he was smart. Maybe he was a genius in not ending this movie in any kind of a way, because this is one of those movies like A Paranormal Activity. I mean, you could make 50 of these.
Yeah.
Do you know what this could be? There will be a Backrooms 25. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, yeah, you're right. Why wouldn't it be? Because it's not really copying any other horror film. It, like Paranormal Activity, has a specific style and a specific look. So if you want more of this, you basically have to get Backrooms.
Yes, 100%. And I do just want to say again, like, this guy clearly is, I know that Backrooms wasn't his initial idea. He just sort of
right. There was an internet pre-existing thing, and then he turned it into a YouTube phenomenon. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. But for 20-year-old to really, for anyone really, to have the, this is going to sound redundant, but the visual vision
that
this guy had is
the commitment
remarkable.
To it. It doesn't, like once you're in the Backrooms, there's not one physical choice he makes that felt, I don't know how else to put it, off the mark, or I'm not somebody who responds with angst or anxiety to much that I watch. And the minute you're there, I was in that.
I was like,
I wonder how much I can take.
And I'm so envious of it because there's no way at 20. I mean, maybe when I'm 80, I'll be like, I'm making a choice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This guy has all the confidence in the world. I'm extremely envious of that.
No, no. What is creepier than a young director? It makes no goddamn sense. Like,
so
John
true.
Singleton putting together Boys in the Hood.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
And
how
what were
was
you
he?
Copying, by
he
the
was
way?
Like, what, 22?
He was like 24 or something. Yeah.
Wild.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like the Orson Welles type people.
Yeah.
It's like, how can you have a gift for this? It's so weird and so technical and doesn't only involve you.
100%.
Like everything else has to be working gangbusters too.
Yes, I imagine we will only be hearing everything about what this guy is up to and what he's doing next. And honestly, if the first YouTube directors really happened, because what's also curious about this movie is no actor, for instance, has really transitioned, I don't think, from, say, social media or YouTube specifically to a mainstream career in that way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. But these two, Curry, what's his name, Stevens? I don't
remember.
Yes, from Obsession. And Kane Parsons, really, I mean, it shows that that works.
Yeah.
A director or someone with a style, that does seem to work.
No, you know what actually does come to mind is like Lena Dunham coming from Tiny Furniture and I don't know how ambitious she was to make like a real TV show or something, but then suddenly a one of a kind TV show that
Quinta Brunson's another example.
Yeah, Quinta Brunson.
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
Where it's just, where did this come from? I don't understand. I thought we all had to go to USC or whatever.
100%. You know? Yeah. Yeah. In that way, that's nice.
Now, you brought up horror as it pertains to comedy. Do you have favorite comedy performances in horror?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't know if this is necessarily... I also love horror dance. So like...
Go on, like Suspiria?
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
Like Suspiria?
Oh, I think about that movie a lot, even though it was like...
Bloated.
Way too fucking long.
way too long. And probably his worst movie, but probably also my favorite of his.
Yeah. I don't know if it's his worst... I mean, like that Julia Roberts movie, that might be the worst one now.
Wait, which one was that?
The one After the Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, people on United Airlines love that movie. It is on every screen. And you want to know what I realized?
Huh.
It is, I believe, the... And this is how basic we are.
Yeah.
It is the first movie in alphabetical order on the United...
That's how it works.
And truly, everyone is watching it. And I'm like, you literally just pressed the first... You opened movies and then pressed the first one.
You're right. Right.
That's what people do.
I honestly don't even know...
I scroll for hours.
No, please. And I always find something like... old that like I've maybe even seen before.
Yes.
Anyway, but like you should just call a movie A-A-A-A-A-H. And I'm telling you, people are gonna watch it.
100%. It's always those early movies that like it's so wild to me. I can't imagine operating that way.
No, but I'm sure like I think we do live in an ADHD universe where like there's a certain kind of person that can't scroll.
100%.
You know, they're just like they literally hit the screen with the back of their hand on accident, you know, like a gorilla or something.
Yeah, no, for sure. They're like, oh, there's two movies on here.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go with the Julia Roberts one.
Right.
But
no, you said horror dance. I mean, like, Suspiria, what else counts?
Hang on. There are others. I just can't think. There is another one that I love.
But you know what's a funny scene in Suspiria is Tilda Swinton having to teach some movement that involves jumping up and down. And she goes, you're just not getting it.
Oh, and she keeps...
So funny.
And literally the move is to jump. And then the lines in it, she just goes, higher, 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 higher. And then Dakota Johnson. I love Dakota Johnson's performance in that.
Well, I went on a date with my dear good friend, Joel Buck at the time, who is a movie queen. And he told me, he wanted me to see it with him because he was like, I'm a huge fan of Dakota Johnson. I was like, that's chemically impossible. And I went to that movie and I'm like, I love her. She's fucking awesome.
Have you seen The Materialists?
Duh, yeah. She's great in it. She's the only thing I think is great about it. But
one of the strangest. That was the last movie I saw on a plane, by the way.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
The Materialist. Yeah, that's the thing. They have 50 options, and I'm like, I guess The Materialist.
No, right. There's no right movie for a plane, I think is correct.
One of the strangest movies I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
The whole thing about, like, the surgery they get.
Oh, yeah. And then that comes back and turns into a major part of the movie. I thought it seems like a one-off joke they're making.
And there's cavemen in it.
Yeah,
there's the framing of the movie. That movie is an uncanny valley.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Celine Song gave a very earnest interviews about the movie. And I'm like, it's about a woman who is a matchmaker and she's choosing between two guys who are okay.
Right. And who both had the surgery to make themselves taller.
Yeah, or just, Pedro Pascal. Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
Okay. Yes, that's right. Yeah. It's one of the strangest movies. Very Backrooms feeling in that way.
Yeah. These are connected universes.
Exactly, yeah.
God, I haven't thought about that movie in a while.
Materialist,
because it seemed like it was going to be a kind of Woody Allen-ish exploration of dating politics.
Yes.
And then by the end, I was like, I don't think this movie knows what it wants to do with these characters. Like, it's not really saying anything.
Right.
Yeah.
It's honestly similar how I felt about this movie. It's like, I don't at the end know. I guess I could figure out what it was trying to say. But did any of the... I'm actually curious, and I'm sure there are spoilers here, but did anything happening with Mark Duplass make sense with you?
No.
Yeah.
And also... That felt like it was a role written in at the last minute or something.
It just
was not crucial or interesting or gave him anything to do.
At all. Once we got to the end of that movie, I really truly didn't understand what was happening.
I will say this is a confounding movie to grade on a scale because it succeeds at the main goal it has, which is transmitting this vibe we have from these YouTube videos and exploring that and deepening it a little bit. But then I wonder how much narrative responsibility it has otherwise. And it's like, it feels like me saying, well, it wasn't about World War II, so we have to dock at some points. So it's like, this is me like putting, an empirical scale that has nothing to do with this movie on it.
And what was interesting is in my theater, and I saw it Friday night, I assume it had started Wednesday probably. So much of the audience were repeat customers.
Oh, yeah.
I I do feel, as I mentioned before, I do feel like this movie is going to be huge on Reddit. Everyone is going to express an opinion on this and what it means and what it's doing.
I also just think horror fans refuse to see these movies not in a theater. They are married to the concept of going out to see the movie. Imagine watching this at home. It would be all wrong.
Totally. You know? I am 100% behind that. I think it is really generally very exciting that these new directors, these established actors, what a cool combo,
yeah,
are bringing people to the box office.
Now, which did you like better, this or Obsession?
They were so different. I would say, honestly, I probably liked Obsession a little more because I liked what it had to say, and I also thought it was very funny. And
yeah,
the performances were also very good. But I did really, I mean, I hope I'm not sounding negative about it, I really appreciated Backrooms.
Yeah.
I liked the vibe of it. I liked the look of it. It shocks me that a movie like that would draw such a box office, and I think that's very, very cool. Like, I think if this guy is trying to become the next David Lynch, why not? That's great. That's a great aspiration.
Are you a David Lynch head, generally speaking?
I'm a Mulholland Drive head.
I'm Mulholland Drive. I actually love The Straight Story by him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, and,
but also, my problem is, again, I think this is my German literalness. I just prefer things make sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I just come out and like, oh, you said something and that was funny.
Right.
You know, and that was true, et cetera. Whereas the thing he's going, even going back to The Elephant Man or Eraserhead,
right,
I'm just like, so much of this, not at me. Please don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I guess why I say, I think Mulholland Drive is perfectly beautiful in camp. I think things like Wild at Heart push it over the line.
Yeah.
So I like that space.
Why is his name Sailor? Yes, right. In Wild at Heart.
Completely. I mean, the best thing about it is, well, Laura Dern's performance is so good, but that crimped hair. And Diane is so good. And Diane Ladd rubbing
an Oscar nominated performance. That, I mean, people often ask, what's the craziest Oscar nominated performance of all time? I don't think you can argue anything but that.
It's definitely up there. I have another one, but it'll piss you off.
Oh, go away. A crazy nominee?
Well, yeah, one that I was like, wow, she got nominated for that.
Oh, hit me.
I was okay with the nomination, but I was surprised. Kim Basinger in L.A. Confidential.
Oh, no. Whenever I talk about that movie, I just think people remember her on the poster. And they were like, well, she's the one woman in the movie. We'll nominate her. And then somehow she won. She does have two scenes that are good.
Yeah, she is good in it. She's good
in it. Brian, you actually have said something before that I think I've repeated as if it's my own, which is that you said—
To be quoted by you is my greatest honor.
Okay. You said Kim Basinger good is the same thing as Kim Basinger bad. It's so true.
Honestly, it is.
She's been great in a number of movies.
Absolutely. And name a more stunning human being.
Oh, and she looks 11 foot 7, you know.
100%. She's got, did you see? You know what? This isn't interesting. But basically, Kim Basinger, it was Alec Baldwin's birthday. And Kim Basinger, like, posted on Instagram. It was the anniversary of some terrible movie they did together, like Marrying Man.
Yeah.
And she was like, basically like, I can't believe it's the anniversary of this. And at the time, I was married to the marrying man. Hope you're well, Alec. And I was like, where did this come from? From calling the daughter a piggy.
Yeah, right.
Kim released, allegedly. She released that audio.
Yes. Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? To that point, I mean, Kim, she's grown. She's grown a lot. I appreciate the arc.
Also, she was in like The Natural. She's in like so many weirdo movies.
So many weird movies. The original Batman.
Yeah, right.
Jerry Hall, by the way. She to me was Chiwetel Ejiofor as the pirate at the end of the movie, except in Batman.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, I actually forgot about that. At the end of this movie, Chiwetel Ejiofor appears in another form. And that is, it becomes a little bit traditional horror in that moment,
yes,
but it is, or it looks like almost like an animated movie or something,
yeah, but
it kind of works.
Cool. I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
I thought that, I actually thought that that monster at the end was creepy, and it made sense that he could sort of shape shift and elongate his arms. And it was just the amalgamation of a memory. Like, I thought that was cool.
Also, by the way, I think now in retrospect, 12 Years a Slave counts as underrated. Like it's this movie that people treat like homework.
Yeah.
There are so many characters in that movie that are specific to that movie.
Yes.
I'm still thinking about crazy ass Sarah Paulson in that movie.
Ugh, terrifying in that movie. No, that movie is incredible. And also, it is so funny that a movie could win Best Picture and be underrated, because that movie is that. It's wild. Yes.
And so much of the time when something wins Best Picture, I personally don't find like Oppenheimer to be genius.
No.
I thought there were good parts in it.
Yes.
I love when it becomes a courtroom drama from 1957.
Yes.
Because anytime a movie reminds me of a play I did in high school, I want to be in it.
Honestly, you know? Me too. Except for Our Town, which I hate more than shit.
Interesting. Yeah. I also, you know, I do hate our time.
Yeah.
Why is there a stage manager? You know?
I don't know. I hate everything about that. I hate when they pet that fake cow. I like anything about it.
I really should do a podcast just about the things we had to perform in high school and
name
how much
others.
We hate that. Oh, just like Brighton Beach Memoirs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right, the Neil Simon.
What I'm saying is I want to have a podcast about hating Neil Simon.
I'm in.
Yeah,
and okay, loving Marsha Mason.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Oh, she can come on. That's fine.
Fully.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Fully, that would be great.
I'm sure she has opinions about the whole thing. Yeah. Okay, tell me what you thought about Backrooms. Again, this is not my universe. It's probably more yours out there on YouTube where you're watching this. Let me know. And we'll be right back with Samara Weaving. Keep It is brought to you by Acorns. So many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorn is the financial wellness app that cares where your money is going tomorrow. The Acorns potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Well, let's talk about my money goals. Summer is a very daunting time to be a gay man because we decide we need to go everywhere. We get very unsatisfied with living lovely little lives, and we decide to go to the 5 other places gay people want to go to. Did you know this? They're all expensive. So I'm trying to ration out the money so that it doesn't all run out by the time Labor Day rolls around. Most of the time, we only talk about money once we've made it. Acorns is the financial wellness app that wants to show a little love to everyone who is on their way. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you. Whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down, Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. The Acorns potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is all in one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. The thing I love about Acorns is it's thinking on my behalf. I love to leave things to professionals since I am not one in any way. It's weird I have a job, period. Acorns makes me feel like I'm in good hands even when I'm not thinking about Acorns, which is honestly sometimes. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/keepit or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/keepit. Keep It is brought to you by Upwork. Scaling a business takes the right expertise at the right time. Upwork helps growing teams quickly bring in specialized freelancers so you can move faster and take the business to the next level. Upwork is a one-stop platform to find, hire, and pay expert freelancers across web and software development, data and analytics, marketing, business operations, and more. Upwork helps grow your business by giving you fast access to specialized talent across 125-plus categories so you can fill skill gaps, launch projects faster, and scale support up or down without committing to full-time headcount. You can browse profiles, review past work, and get help scoping the role so you can hire with confidence and get started quickly. With Business Plus, you can access the top 1% of talent on Upwork, and with AI-powered shortlisting, you'll get matched to the right freelancer in under 6 hours. No endless searching required. Upwork also cuts down operational hassle by handling things like contracts and payments in one place, so you can spend more time running the business. Thousands of growing businesses already trust Upwork to hire flexible, high-quality freelance talent for everything from one-off projects to ongoing support. It's free to sign up, and posting a job is easy. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That is Upwork.com to connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com, Upwork.com. Our next guest is an Australian actress and a modern day scream queen. She starred in the Ready or Not movies, Scream 6 and The Babysitter. Her new movie, which I just watched last night, loved. Carolina Caroline is in theaters this Friday, June 5th. Please welcome to Keep It, Samara Weaving.
Hello.
And also, you had a baby so recently, it's bone chilling. How recently did this occur?
8 weeks ago.
Okay, yeah. Right. Thank you so much for being here and active and being able to pay attention to questions, because I can't put myself in your shoes. I don't think I would be that alert.
Oh, you know what? That just that's how much I love this movie and how much I want people to see it, that I'm willing to leave my baby to chat people about it. I think if it was
that's any a specific other, kind of joy,
you know, like if it was any other thing, I'd be like, forget it, don't worry. But this movie, I'm just obsessed with it. That, you know, I just want to shout it from the rooftops.
Well, I kind of get it because, first of all, it's a movie about the chemistry between two people who have a kind of Bonnie and Clyde relationship. They set out on the road and, you know, are kind of like quick change thieves. Reminds me a little bit of the movie Paper Moon for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some turmoil occurs both between them and the world. But the thrill of this movie initially is your chemistry with Kyle Gallner as this Bonnie and Clyde type couple is so awesome and so immediate. It locks you into this movie. Talk about working with him. And did you know there was chemistry there that immediately?
Do you know what? I think we got really, really lucky. I don't think it's that chemistry like that is something you can manufacture or like act. It's something that the lens, like the camera just picks up. And we just got along so well. Maybe it's because I was such a fan of his. I watched him in Adam's other movie, Dinner in America, and like fell in love with him in that. So I was really excited to work with him. And I probably can give credit to Adam because I think he knew that we would really get along and that that would read on camera. And I'm pretty sure that accent, everyone falls in love with a woman who has that accent.
Well, let's talk about that accent for a second. You are a Southerner in this movie, and there's something very immediate about that accent too that is both inviting and there's like a kind of a vulnerability to it. How long did it take you to find that specific place in your voice?
I've been working with my dialect coach, Liz Himmelstein, for a really long time, and we were researching and finding like real human people. Like, she has a catalog of recordings. She's incredible. Of people she's interviewed with accents like that. And there was this one woman who just sounded so sweet and there's like a naivety to it. And we just tried to copy her accent because I think you can get away with a lot when you sound that sweet.
And that sweetness pervades this movie, even when it is very much not sweet. It becomes, you know, quite violent. Etc. Something that also fascinated me about this movie is that he wanted to film it in chronological order. Mm-hmm. Does that help add to what you're trying to build? Does that make it easier for you as an actor in any way?
Shooting it in chronological order, it actually changed the ending of the movie. We realized as we were shooting that we should capitalize on this chemistry and how the scenes were playing. We all sat down. I don't want to give any spoilers, but we had this meeting with Tom Dean, the writer, and Adam and Kyle and I. We were going, I think we need to rewrite the ending because we were falling in love with the characters and we were such fans of what we were doing that, we rewrote, which that's never happened on a movie before. And I don't think it would have happened if we were shooting it in chronological order. Usually I like to do a scene from the middle of the movie first. There was an actor who was talking about this going, I like to shoot the middle of the movie first because that's when you're like the rustiest and the most nervous. And then you shoot the beginning and the end because the audience, if there's a bad scene in the middle, people will forget it.
Right.
But yeah, for this reason, like Kyle meeting my character for the first time on day one, like us meeting each other in the scene and it, like the nerves and it all really played into it.
You said that your director sort of intuited that the two of you would have good chemistry. Why would he suspect such a thing? I mean, you obviously both have Scream-oriented pasts, both associated with horror. But at the same time, I just feel like the both of you have a casual sense of darkness that you can conjure. And I feel like there's a similarity there.
Yeah, I think he both knew that we were just weird and strange, cool freaks and was like, these two will get along, you know? Like, he invited us both over to his Airbnb he was staying at, like, when we first got there. And then suddenly we realized no one else was in the room and we were just chatting. I was going, okay, I see what you're doing here, Adam.
But also it seems like it's extremely collaborative given that you were able to have a conversation at the end about changing the script of the movie. What's it like just collaborating with him in general, like putting a scene together? It sounds like you have a different relationship than you would with most, you know, auteuristic directors.
Yeah, every director's, you know, got their own approach. And I think what makes Adam so special is that he can adapt to the actors he works with, because I know he's been, you know, he's worked with like kids before and he's worked with Adam before, Kyle before. And with this one, he really just instinctively let us play and he didn't really give a lot of notes. I think he really trusted us to play our instincts of the scene, which I think is what brought that sort of magic to it, that there wasn't a lot of, I mean, Kyle and I work very similarly in that we prep really well and we rehearse a lot. But then on the day, Adam kind of stayed out of our way in a sense and just was like, keep the cameras rolling, let them do what they do. I think because you do have to be quite vulnerable, we had to be really vulnerable with each other and be kind of like, you know, flirty and like pretending to be in love. And maybe if he had like run in with notes, it would have broken that magic a little bit. Like it got to the point where Kyle and I would rehearse on the weekend and Adam just went, don't tell me what you're going to do. I'm just going to roll and you guys do what you want. And that level of like trust and belief in us was really lovely.
Oh, that's fabulous. There's also a scene in this movie involving Kyra Sedgwick, who plays a very Southern fried character whom you are very excited to meet, and she doesn't know why initially. I would describe it as a brutal scene, and I honestly didn't know Kyra, that side of Kyra Sedgwick, and I'm a pretty devoted, close follower of her filmography, TVography. Did she do anything in that scene that really surprised you? What was it like working with her in that moment in this, you know, you initially start off in this kind of lovely setting and then it becomes nearly violent by the end.
Yeah, it was almost like a play that day. I hadn't met her before. The schedule was so tight and she had so many things going on. She flew in like that morning and then I sort of met her in the scene, like as her character. Tom Dean is such an incredible writer that I knew it was going to be a really powerful scene, but it was like a tornado came in, absolutely destroyed me, and then she left. It was, I felt like I had front row seats to the best play in town. I really didn't have to act very much. Like, she just committed so hard to that character. The way she moves in it, just her entrance, it was just so powerful and incredible. That was one of those days where you go, wow, that was, my job is cool.
Yeah. Well, also, what I liked about that scene also is like your accent is and personality is pure charm in the movie, and that she got to be a Southern character who is suddenly extremely repellent. It really gives the movie a boost in a really cool way.
Yeah, there's that real harshness to her that it feels like there's just, she's got so many edges and she's really been through it. And what I found fascinating about her is that I weirdly empathized with her. I mean, the fact that she is just, you can tell she's just in so much pain because someone doesn't behave like that unless they've been through so much. Like, she brought this level of trauma that isn't necessarily written, that's all her prep.
Yes, it is jarring. And speaking of that, I was wondering, you've been in so many movies, you know, that are, if not horror, there's a lot of shock value to the movies you're in. Can you think of any time a fellow performer on screen did something that actually shocked you within the moment? Like a sort of candid, we get a candid reaction from you based on what they decide to do in the moment.
I don't know if this answers the question, but it's a similar thing where it was just a really odd choice. Was in Ready or Not, the first one, I didn't plan it, but at the end, and spoiler if you haven't seen already or not, I just decided to start laughing. That wasn't written in the script. It was, I don't know why, but I just felt the absurdity of the movie, of what was happening, and just started pissing myself. And the directors were like, dude, we didn't think we were going to use that take. We almost thought it was like a blooper, but it really helped bring the movie back together. So that was pretty cool.
Also, that to me feels very rational. It's like at the end of Texas Chainsaw Massacre when she's leaving on the back of the car after just narrowly escaping being murdered. She's like laughing to herself. Like that to me feels like a particularly human response to being through something so insane. Like your mind rationalizing it with this is funny in some way.
Yeah, totally. I think it was a really like authentic response that weirdly worked. But, you know, originally it was meant to be this like horrific, you know, traumatic response. So yeah, there's also in Carolina, there was a moment now that I'm thinking about it. I left the scene with Kira and my character's quite, distraught. And I was meant to sort of like just get in the car and kind of stonewall, Oliver's, Kyle's character. And he had just played it so sweetly and, instinctively, I just grabbed his hand out of the window. And now that's one of my favorite bits is that, and that's only because he, like the look on his face was so adorable that there was this immediate need to like get his assurance.
Yeah, no, it establishes the depth of your relationship too.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, in that moment, like it's almost like your id was reaching out to him.
Right.
Now, having been in so much horror, can you be just a fan of horror movies going forward? Like, do you avoid watching horror movies? Like, we're in this moment right now where, like, Obsession and Backrooms are coming out and, like, people, it's like the movies that people are still most talking about. Do you have an appetite for it as a viewer, or are you just like, you know what? When I'm in horror movies, that's when I participate with that genre.
I used to be like that. I used to not watch them, but now I'm such a fan. I think because I've just been around it and I talk about them so much and my husband's a huge horror fan. I'm so glad that, you know, like Sinners is at the Oscars and at the box office, horrors seem to be doing like way better than other films. And it feels like this genre is finally getting the recognition that it like really deserves because it's tough, man. It's tough making horror movies.
Would you say that those are the hardest roles you've done? Horror?
No, if anything, Caroline was maybe not like the hardest physically, like horror movies are really demanding physically, but there was something about being really vulnerable and having to play something I hadn't really done before that was quite terrifying.
And my last question to you is, I'm sure being lumped in with all the, you know, great Australian actresses there are gets tiring after a while. I'm sure you're not best friends with them, whatever. But I have to say, Australian actresses, all these like high profile people have the capacity to shock. Almost every time I see, you know, a Nicole Kidman movie or Jackie Weaver or Judy Davis or whomever, they always turn something where it's like, where the hell did that come from? And you are definitely in the company of that. What is it, do you think, about this like this country that produces people who can be so effervescent on screen and then also so bone chilling?
Well, thank you. I don't know. Maybe
okay.
We're all descendants from criminals.
There it is. Yeah, you admitted it. Okay.
Because Australia was a giant jail. So we're all, yeah, related to British criminals. Who sat in the sun for too long.
just respecting your ancestry by being shifty on camera.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today. The movie is so good. I hope people rush out to see it. And also, it's such a great movie to see in a theater, too. It has that kind of, you know, Bonnie and Clyde Paper Moon verve. And I hope people see that in a theater.
Me, too. It's always good to see films how they were meant to be seen on a big old screen.
And I think horror fans in particular refuse to see them on a small screen. So I think they're really propping up the movie business right now.
I think so.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Keep It is brought to you by iRestore. A new season means fresh routines, small resets, and recommitting to the things that make you feel your best. And with iRestore's Summer Savings event running from May 27th through June 7th, it's the perfect time to upgrade your hair and skin routine. iRestore has been leading the way in red light therapy for over 2 decades, helping shape the category with clinically backed devices trusted by over 500,000 customers worldwide. As more people look for simple, effective ways to support their hair and skin health at home, iRestore continues to offer advanced devices designed to fit seamlessly into your routine. I received the Illumina face mask. Can I just say, this thing is so comfortable to use. It's a very daunting, you know, Michael Myers mask looking thing when you first get it. And then you put it on and it's like, I hope never to take it off. It's also easy to fit into your routine, namely your nighttime routine. It's something I like doing before I brush my teeth, and then I'm ready to sleep. The iRestore Elite is their most advanced laser hair growth system, using 300 lasers and 200 LEDs to help regrow thicker, healthier hair in as little as 3 months. It's effortless. Just wear it while working, reading, or unwinding at night. And the Illumina face mask, lightweight, cordless, and packed with 2 times more LEDs than other top masks. It targets fine lines, breakouts, and dullness with triple wavelength light therapy. Just 10 minutes a few times a week for brighter, smoother, healthier-looking skin. And here's the best part. During the summer savings event, you can bundle the iRestore Elite and Illumina face mask together, making it the perfect time to upgrade your routine. Whether you're refreshing your regimen or finally giving your hair and skin the attention they deserve, this bundle delivers powerful results and even better value for a limited time. The iRestore Illumina face mask is a dermatologist recommended mask that packs double the power of most other masks with 360 medical grade LEDs. There are 3 wavelengths for all of your skin's concerns. The red light and infrared light wavelength helps with anti-aging, increased collagen production, hyperpigmentation, and improved blood flow to the skin. The blue light helps reduce blemishes, clear acne, prevent breakouts, and shrink pores. And it's one of the first masks on the market that allows you to use all 3 modes at the same time. iRestore is so confident in their products that they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee, so you can gift it risk-free. If their skin doesn't look healthier, you'll get a full refund. No awkward questions, just results or your money back. Restocking fee applicable. iRestore is kicking off their summer savings event with some huge discounts on their red light therapy devices. Right now, you can save on customer favorites like the iRestore Elite Helmet and the Illumina face mask. Just head to iRestore.com and use code KEEPIT to take advantage of the sale. That's KEEPIT at iRestore.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Give your hair and skin the upgrade they deserve so you can feel confident and refreshed.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And we're back with the meanest part of the episode. It's Keep It. Brian, is there anything that is bugging you in pop culture that you'd like to really spin out about?
Well, I feel the thing that's bugging me the most right now. Have you heard of Noosa Yogurt and its fans?
No, help me.
It is a huge cult. It's this...
N-U-S-A?
N-O-O-S-A.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I sort of feel like I can picture a logo, but anyway.
People are kind of rabid about it. I've been hearing about it more and more. And people say it's the best yogurt. It will change your life. It's like ice cream, blah, 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 blah. And it is all those things. If you want yogurt to be like incredibly unhealthy. But
okay.
What I'm equally obsessed with that Aaron turned me on to was There's a yogurt called Elanos that does that thing where when you rip off the lid, it has like a quote on it.
Oh, sure.
Or a slice of life. So, for instance, it'll say like, my day's not good without Elanos. But there was also one recently that Aaron ripped off the lid and it said, yup, I'm that girl at the brunch table who doesn't like yogurt. Elanos changed all of that. And I thought to myself, well, that's a personality I haven't had before. You know what I
do? Yogurt has disrupted her life.
Disrupted her life. And also, what is my response supposed to be? Oh, you're that friend? You're that friend. Got it. There's always one. Never heard that personality in my life. And, but the Noosa people are insufferable. They're very much like the people who say, this happens to me all the time. I don't know if it happens to you, but just you'll say something. They'll be like, oh, you have to go to Berlin.
Sure.
You have to go to Berlin. It's that same sort of insufferable personality.
Also, wow. Oh, right. Because you're very invested in groceries culture.
I love groceries.
Yeah.
I love the aisles, the carts.
Yeah.
I love buying stuff and then like watching them walk down the runway at the end. Like,
oh,
so
yes.
Proud.
The
like,
show of it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And you can feel how happy they are they've been chosen. Like, it really, it radiates for me.
Wait,
I can never take one apple, I have to take two because I think the other one's going to be lonely. I really anthropomorphize a grocery store.
Oh,
wow. It's unhealthy.
Real Noah's Ark behavior. Yeah. We're getting
you.
Two apples.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, have you ever worked in a grocery store?
Never.
Okay, because I have.
You're kidding.
Yes, when I was in college. And do you know what I miss about it? Because I feel like this is kind of going away. You would have to memorize all the fruit codes.
Okay,
and
yeah.
That was true, like, monkey computer brain. Like, I was like, 4048 limes. Yeah, yeah.
Were you a cashier?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh, excuse me. I was the only male cashier at the grocery store at home. I was, honey, I was Amelia Earhart, honey. Okay.
Honey, I bet you had the longest lines. I bet everyone wanted to be checked out with you.
I literally had favorite customers and we had rapport.
One was
absolutely named Get Ready Cheryl. Cheryl, if you're listening, I miss you. She would always be behind where I'm from is a Polish suburb of Chicago. Okay. Lots of, you know, Polish people who I'm sure meant well but didn't speak English, and they respond to that static with angst. And so you would have to get through that interaction. But then Cheryl would come by and be like, oof, I saw that whole thing.
Oh, the best when you can relate to someone like that. What was the name of the grocery store?
See, it was at the time Chapin's, Peter Chapin, may he rest.
Okay.
But now it's something else, which I actually forget. But okay. It was formative. And everybody I ever met was like, you should write something about being in a grocery store. I was like, doesn't sound fascinating at all.
It would to me. If you ever write it, I'll be the first one to buy it.
Yeah. Does this mean you consume yogurt on the regular?
You know, it's a new thing for me. That and cottage cheese. You do eat cottage cheese. People
okay, well,
love
get
it.
This. I'm obsessed with going to diners right now. I love like getting like 10
what
scrambled
diners
eggs.
Are in LA?
I go to the one on Sunset, Mel's.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. I just like the space of it. The whole like I want to listen to Paul Anka. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like I usually get this breakfast that comes with cottage cheese. I do not fucking get it at all.
And me neither.
Yeah.
But I'm into it somehow.
And I
feel like I've been forced into it.
Really?
I think by social media, I do feel like I don't know how I get there. Like I start watching, I don't even know, Joan Crawford's Way of Life clips on Instagram. And somehow that turns into, I guess because she would eat cottage cheese. I don't know. Somehow it turns into trainers then saying like cottage cheese is the best protein you can have.
Yeah.
And I've been convinced and now I eat it.
I just, it feels like alien food to me.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And especially,
the
remember
color.
When like, did your mom ever used to eat it?
No.
Good for her.
Yeah. No, I grew up in a very like, my mom did her best, but I had three straight brothers and we just wanted like Burger King.
Hell yes.
You know?
Yeah. Just fucking, you know, just... I don't know what guys
fries like. Fries that had like a metallic sheen.
Enough.
Yeah,
exactly, you know? Exactly. No, my mom was very much like all foods that were beige. So like cottage cheese, plain bagel, maybe a tomato.
Oh, yeah.
Egg whites.
Oh, sure.
You know, just.
Oh, no, I love mid-century modern colored food. I understand that. I don't know that I consume much of it.
Yes.
But I also got that out of my system. I would say I eat pretty well now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I believe it.
Okay, my keep it this week, as I said, pertains to Alfred Hitchcock. Did you know that we're getting a... limited series adaptation of The Birds starring Sarah Snook. Speaking of Australian actresses, who another one. Here's the thing. At first, when I heard this news, I thought this is a bad idea because the whole point of The Birds is, first of all, it's not the movie people think it is.
No.
At the end, it turns into a horror movie with birds flying over the place, but it's mainly about this couple, Tippi Hedren and Rod Taylor, who are trying to appease his weird, overbearing mother, played by Jessica Tandy.
Absolutely.
And then it takes this hard left turn into actually we're just getting our eyes pecked out. And in fact, Suzanne Plachet, in her amazing Elizabeth Taylor makeup, discovered with her eyes pecked out, is one of the most glamorous images I have ever seen.
Also, that Tippi Hedren is such an obsessive stalker. I mean,
yes.
She takes a boat by herself to go across the bay for a guy she's seen one time.
Yes.
And not even had a conversation with.
No, and she's like this weird socialite who throws herself into fountains. So there's real, like, an imbalance of something yes. going on there. But, okay, so I'm looking up this adaptation. I'm like, how are they going to make this compelling? Because what's also good about the actual bird attacks is you don't know why they're happening.
Right.
You know, it's just, like, people sense that there's a vibe shift at the bay, and then the birds start attacking. And then I looked into it. They're not even setting it at Bodega Bay. It's not the same character. It's just Sarah Snook is playing someone in Alaska dealing with birds. Bitch, just say you're making something else.
What?
This has nothing to do with Hitchcock.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with
it. One of the creators was like, we're going closer to the Daphne du Maurier original story. But I was like, that, which takes place in Cornwall. So I'm like, that's still not the same.
I was honestly going to say there's absolutely no way in hell from what I know about Daph, there's no way she set that story in Alaska.
Yeah.
That is wild.
I just don't know. Again, we're getting a Cape Fear limited series adaptation too.
Yeah.
Again, another move. I'm talking about the Scorsese remake. Actually, the Mitchum one too. I think it's good because of the brevity. You were just like, what's wrong with this guy? What's 100%. Wrong with the Robert De Niro character?
So Jessica Lange in Cape Fear there's like one scene where Juliette Lewis is like, I'm going out or something like that. And Jessica Lange goes, okay, fine. I do it. I don't care. And she's so
weird.
Good. Every performance in that is so bizarre. It's truly bizarre.
And also like, it's an homage to the original Cape Fear, but like the way he's closed in on certain faces, like way too close. It's like uncomfortable. It's strange.
The way that Robert De Niro dresses as a housekeeper.
Yeah.
And the whole movie is so bizarre. But that's, I did read that Sarah Snook was doing an adaptation of The Birds for a series. And one thing I love about the original Birds is, first of all, it is a long movie. It isn't, and it's, like you said, nothing really happens until the very end. But what's cool about it is the ambiguity about what's happening there.
Yeah.
Very back rooms. But, you don't know, like, people have theorized, like, oh, it's a commentary on environmentalism or something, that it's like, it's the ecosystem is falling apart and these birds are reacting to it, things like that. But that's wild.
Because in the original movie, it's wrapped up with Veronica Cartwright, who is the younger sister of Rod Taylor, has a pair of birds that are lovebirds.
Yes.
And at the end, somebody goes, well, the lovebirds didn't hurt anybody. And then these two other characters are lovebirds. So it's sort of like saying, well, we all got pecked to death, but these two people should be together. Like, I don't know why they were trying to wrap it up that way.
Veronica Cartwright, by the way.
Speaking of Alien.
Yes. Exactly the same all through her life. Yeah. I mean, in looks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would, she's someone, if they show me the baby picture, I'd be like, that's absolutely Veronica Cartwright.
Right,
she's
gorgeous. She looks the same 12 and now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Brian, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Such
my God.
A pleasure.
And you can be my boss again at any time.
Same, by the way. I felt like you were my boss today.
Good.
In a loving way. Yes. It was so nice.
I also need to go to New York anyway to see Death of a Salesman, and I need to see you too. So
please,
I will be
come.
There.
You can go to areyoumadatmeshow.com for tickets. I mean, you won't. You just, if you come to New York, just let me know and I'll get your tickets. But areyoumadatmeshow.com for tickets.
When does it start there?
July 10th to August 15th.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fabulous.
Yeah. So it's 30 shows only.
How nervous are you?
You know, what's funny, I'm not necessarily nervous about the show itself. I'm more just, because I think the show is great. It's where it needs to be, and it feels solid. But you get through the launch, and that's nerve-wracking, and then now you get through the, like, are people coming? And you know what I mean? But that's with anything. But I don't know. I'm just excited to be doing it there.
I cannot wait to see it. You are so marvelously talented. And also, not contrived at all. You are your own thing, and it is so fabulously you. Yes.
Same with you, Lewis. I could do this all day. I love you so much.
Okay, come back, please, way more often when you're not killing it in New York.
I'd love to.
Yes. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to the fabulous Samara Weaving. We will be back next week with more Keep It. Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Kelsey Gante, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Lewis Vertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Shang, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods. Ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
This year, it's Pop's turn for a laugh. So celebrate Father's Day with a gift that really pops. A customized Funko Pop of him. First, think of all the things that make your dad the man. Then turn those ideas into a personalized Funko Pop. Select hair, clothing, and skin tone options to match his fit. Don't forget to show off his favorite hobbies and sports with amazing accessories. You can even add his best friend. Start creating now at Funko.com.
Be unique, not anyone else. Express it now. Just pop yourself.
That's Funko.com.